revelation of your word. We ask that you will grant us insight, Father, in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We will come to a more precise appreciation of our authority, of our rights and our privileges, of your work, of our place in your work. We will be useful vessels, yielded vessels, channels of your influence in our world. We open our minds to the light, the illumination, the intelligence that your word brings. We open our souls to the light of your word. As light lightens the lamp, we ask that our hearts will be lightened by your word. It will change our thoughts and perceptions. We will receive instruction and we will be instructed. We will receive teaching and we will be taught. We will receive admonition and we will be exhorted. We will receive corrections and we will be straightened. As your word proceeds forth, we receive sounds and sights of your spirit. Everything that needs to be said will be said. And so all that every heart here needs to hear will be heard. This we ask and receive in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Joshua chapter 1. We're looking at the concept of the believer's authority. And then we are looking, or we are, how do I put it? We are focusing on the particular emphasis, or looking at it in a different way, something like that. It's the same thing, okay? So I just want to emphasize some things in the course of our study. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So I'll have a time frame. And not just that, I have a particular number of minutes I want these sessions to be in. So it's going to be short. Are we together? Are we together? And there's a reason why it's going to be short. Can't be less than an hour. I'm not backsliding. It's going to be short. Are we together? And then, as for next meeting, we're going to have in two sessions. Are we together? All right. Are we together? We have prepared towards it, right? Our minds, okay? So, as from Sunday, we have two sessions. So, I'll just have to repeat or continue from the second session. So, that will happen. Because we were supposed to have a different teaching, a second session on Sunday. Already told us that on Sunday morning session, we'll have a session. We have a teaching emphasis, a different teaching, second session, and then a separate teaching on Thursdays, and then a separate teaching on Saturday evenings. Are we together? So gradually, we're moving into that, and I think by Sunday, we should have that complete. So we have a session on Sunday morning, a different teaching on Sunday, second session. I didn't say second service, I just say second session. Are we together? But in this case, I'll still have to be explaining or on this teaching the same subject, because I want to be done with this early enough. Praise the Lord. I won't just take 4 weeks on that, and I think in 8 sessions or more I should be done. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In Joshua chapter 1, okay, so I will be a bit fast. When I need to be slow, I will be slow, but I have something to cover today, and it's quite much, because I don't plan to go into my main text today. I just want to show us one or two things. Hallelujah. Verse 8, Joshua 1. So if you have your Bibles, you can journey with me. He says, this book of the law, now I will read from it, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. The word minister there means servant or steward. Hallelujah. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon,
unto the great river, and river Euphrates. It is all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was Moses. So I will be with you, with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Hallelujah. It says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto these people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from me to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. Verse 8, can we read together, everyone wants to go? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hallelujah. You know, we have a teaching on good success, right? So you want to lay hand on that teaching, what God calls success. Hallelujah. Now look at something there. We see God giving an instruction. Someone say instruction. Someone say instructions. Now, instructions are vital in our walk with God. Instructions. Salvation is an instruction. Hence, rejecting it is called disobedience. Are we together? Are we together? Because, yeah, Ephesians chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 3, children of disobedience. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, in verse 17, verse 19, it spoke about by one man's disobedience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So a rejection of it is called disobedience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, it spoke about bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Obedience. So not to heed to the gospel will be to disobey. So salvation is by an instruction. As we go and study on, we're also going to see, maybe today, if time permits us, that spiritual development is by instruction. Walking in the will of God is by instructions. The fact that God has a plan does not mean you will walk in it, but you will have to be obedient to walk in it. Are we together? This is God's plan. And you see, God had carried about the background of this. I always tell you to always go ahead and study how the background of text, right? Right? The background of this text is how that Moses had already carried out an exodus. The exodus will be in the, let me just summarize that. The exodus will be an act of God's faithfulness. God fulfilling His promise to Abraham. However, it is also it's also a journey of God's faithfulness. God is also going to fulfill His promise. His promise to who? To Abraham. Are we together? So, in the middle of a promise, the Exodus, we have that Exodus, the one recorded there. The transition of the children of Israel from the bondage and the tyranny, hallelujah, of Egypt, the Pharaoh, the Egyptians. You see that in Exodus 3, Exodus 4, even up to Exodus 10. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So you see, God after that, Moses took them into the wilderness, and then he dies. And here is Joshua. He says in verse 1, Moses is steward. Moses is steward. Look at what it says in verse 5. It says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now this is a great promise. It says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. We're looking at the believer's authority. Hallelujah. Walking in supernatural strength. So he says, as I was with you, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. As I was with Moses, he says, so I will be with you. Hallelujah. I will not fail you. So He says, not forsaking. So God makes a commitment to Moses. And here again, he makes the same commitment to Joshua. But he says in verse 6, he says, be strong. Hallelujah. He didn't say, therefore do as you feel. No, he says, be strong. Someone say, be strong. God's instruction. It's God's instruction. Hallelujah. Look at me, everybody. When God is with you, you will have to be strong. Hallelujah. Do you know why? Because, look at me. Because he's with you, sometimes God will tell you things that go shake your mind. But look at what it says, I'm with you. Say, God is with me. Say, God is with me. But look at what it says. It says, be strong. And of a good courage. For unto these people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Hallelujah. Then he says in verse 8, he says, he talks about having good success. But my attention is actually in verse 6 and verse 7 when he says, be strong. Then he says in verse 7, only be strong. That means that is your part. Only be strong. He says, for unto these people, thou shalt divide an inheritance the land. For an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. In other words, I will do it. Only be strong. Only be strong. Hallelujah. You know, I said this morning about setting your gaze, right? That's it. Praise God forevermore. So we said instructions are vital in our walk with God. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Quickly. Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be what? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So wait, is it your power? Is it your might? Is it your power? Is it your might? Wait, is it your power that is going to get his will done? Is it your mind that is going to get his will done? No. But it says you're going to be strong. He explains what it means to be strong. He says in verse 11, he says to put on the whole armor. Hallelujah, of God. To put on the whole armor of God. Glory to God forevermore. To put on the whole armor of God. That instruction again. Hallelujah. And then we're going to see the text. We go to the Old Testament writings, for example. We're going to see instances where God addresses his men in the same manner. In 1 Samuel 17, we see an instance of David. In verse 32, 34, 36, in verse 37. For example, we see David, you know, before Goliath. And all he reiterated was God's work, faithfulness and supply. His reliance on God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In Judges chapter 6 verse 12. You know, David spoke about the lion and the bear.
In 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, 36. In Judges 6, verse 12, we see Gideon, where an angel of the Lord came to him, spoke to him. He says, "Thou mighty man of valor." Hallelujah. So God is big on your consciousness, hallelujah, of his power. God is big. God is loud on him, wanting you to be conscious of his what? Of his what? Of his power. Of his abilities. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In Acts 18:10, we see Paul reiterating the vision of Jesus that he had had. How that he should not be afraid of being harmed in a particular city. The Lord said, "I have many people there." Strength. Someone say strength. So Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Let me spend some time there. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:10. He says, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Say, "I am strong." Hallelujah. That's it. You see Joshua. You see the apostles. You see Elijah. You see Gideon. You see men who walked in God's authority. Because God has a work to do on the earth. Hallelujah. He says, "You are going to divide for an inheritance the land which I unto these people, the land which I swore unto their word, which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them." He says, "Only be thou what? Courageous and be what? Only be thou strong rather and be very courageous." We're talking about confidence in the power of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You look at Paul's instructions to Timothy. Look at Timothy. Praise the Lord. In 1 Timothy 4, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In 1 Timothy 4, you see instructions. In verse 12, he gives an instruction that has to do with courage. He says, "Let no man despise your youth." That's an instruction that has to do with courage. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You see that in 1 Timothy 4. Amen. I said amen. In 1 Timothy 6, in verse 11, it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." In verse 12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith." Hallelujah. It says to fight the good fight of faith. That refers to courage. Praise God. And these were instructions. These were instructions. Look at 2 Timothy quickly. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. In verse 2, in verse 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be what? Be what? In the what?" Did you see that? So this is not a motivation. No. It's an instruction. Because none of these things, hallelujah, are in your human capabilities. He says, in the Lord. He says, in what I can do, he told Joshua. The Paul to Timothy. Paul tells Timothy. He says, be strong in the word, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In verse 3, he uses the word soldier. In verse 4, a man that warreth. In verse 5, he talks about striving.
Glory to God. I said, glory to God. He talks about striving. Now look at something in chapter 3. Are you in chapter 3? Are you in chapter 3? So let's do a study now. Are you in chapter 3? In verse 14, he says, but continue thou in the what? In the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast what? Learned them. And that from each other hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for what? Doctrine. For reproof, for correction, or instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto what? Unto all good works. Hallelujah. He says in verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Hallelujah. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now let's look at some things there. Now I've taught you in the course of our study to always put the background of a text in view. So the background of verse 14. Amen. Look at verse 8. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. He says, now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also receive the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs also was. Look at verse 10. Can we read it together? But thou hast fully known my word, doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience. 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at what? At Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I what? And out of them all, the Lord what? Yeah. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? So you see, the background of this text is what? Afflictions. Afflictions. Persecutions. Oppositions. The background of that was Paul reassuring Timothy of his faith, strengthening him and encouraging him. Are we together? He encourages him. He says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He says in 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So you see verse 14 now comes in handy, right? But continue what? Thou. In other words, you continue. Hallelujah. You continue. Continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He says in 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Did you see that now? So that's the background of verse 15. When it says from a child, he was talking about a training that Timothy had received. Again, the background of verse 15 will be in, we'll find that in Acts 16. In Acts of Apostles chapter 16, look at Acts 16, everyone. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In Acts 16, he says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named what? Timothy. The son of a certain Jew, which was a Jewess, a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, and his father was Greek, which was well what? Reported of the brethren, by the brethren, which were at Lystra and Iconium. Go back to 2 Timothy. Hallelujah. Now, as a manner is, we want to do a study. Amen. I'll take you to some word studies quickly. In 2 Timothy 3 there, let's look at something. It says, from a child thou hast known what? The Holy Scriptures. Now, when it is from a child, you know, we have said that he couldn't be saying that from a young boy. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He couldn't be saying from a young boy. Immediately, definitely not, because the person who was writing to was a young boy. Are we together? So, I'd explain to you. Now, I'm feeling like I need to be slow. I don't like it. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Okay. The word child there is what word again, church? Brephos, right? Oh my God. Now I have to write again. What's happening? Brephos. Hallelujah. Now, when you have the word brephos, Brephos means an infant. Amen. Let me just show you something. Okay. Let's just go on. So he says, from a what? A child that's known the Holy Scriptures. So, you know, we said brephos means an infant. Are we together? And many times, brephos is used for somebody, a child that is still in the womb. In the womb. Brephos. And I'm already feeling like we should do a study of some words. Right? I think we should just flow. Alright. Now, that word brephos in itself, we'll see that word used. Let's just flow. The word was used 5 times in the New Testament books of the Bible. Are we together? 5 times. We'll see that word. Let's see how it was used quickly. Okay, so I'll just have to prolong this study again. Alright. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. Everybody? Let's just go. Luke 1, verse 41. Amen. Are you there? Okay. I didn't mean you should be slow. Are we together? All right. You have to be fast and smart. Amen. Verse 41. Can we all read together? It came to pass that when Elizabeth had the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the word. That word babe is the word prevos. Brephos. Are we together? Luke chapter 2, verse 12 and verse 16. We're reading together. Can we read together? Want to go? Church, can we read together? Want to go? Luke chapter 2, in verse 12. Let's read together. Want to go? This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. That is reverse. So, we'll see it's used for a child in the womb. Are we together? It's also used for what? A newly born child. A newly born child is also used for a newly born child. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In Acts again, look at Acts chapter 7. Luke also used it. In verse 19. Acts 7:19. Let's go. The same dealt us subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. Young. Young. The word young there. Hallelujah. Again, is the word brephos. However, we see Peter use that word. So let's see. Let's really see something. Look at 1 Peter quickly. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envy and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." As newborn what? Babes. That word, newborn babes, the word breakfast. Hallelujah. Newborn babes. Now, look at that text again. It says, as newborn babes. We want to do a study of the word child. And I want to show you some things. Are we together? Now, it says, as newborn what? Babes desire the what? Sincere milk. Now, if care is not taken, you will think Peter is saying something and he's not actually saying that. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. For example, some school of teaching has borne in mind that when a child is born, or when someone is born again rather, the person is born like a child. And then the person begins to grow up. Are we together? Are we together? But, you know, we found that not to be true. Bible study. Find that not to be true. It says, now when it says as newborn babes, can this text address a 70-year-old man who got born again yesterday? Are you serious? Can this text address a 50-year-old woman who got born again yesterday? Hallelujah. So, quickly, can we agree that as newborn babes is a figure of speech? Is a figure of speech. Do we agree? So as newborn babes is a figure of speech. So when it says as newborn babes, it's not saying you're born again and then you're newly born. So the same way a child is born and then, you know, all of us were fair when we were born.
Isn't it? There's only one child I've seen before. That was black. Looks like Amala. The complexion, just the complexion. And the softness of the skin. I think they have now used oil again. I was looking from afar. I said, ah. Praise God. Even Brother Kolia was fair. When he was born. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So, the same way, so you now think like, now think that when someone is born again, you know, and then babies are cry, right? So this just has to be figure of speech. Isn't it? Now, when a figure of speech is being used, can we say a parable? Illustration? Now, when an illustration is being used, I've taught you. See, I don't know why I have to go so slow now. Okay. Let me just change my mode. Are we together? Let me switch. I came with a fast spirit before. Well, let me switch. Are we together at this church? So, you give birth to a child, right? So, we say, when you use illustration, now, I've told you that in a parable, not everything in a parable is useful. But a point is driven home. It's used to drive a point home, rather. Are we together? So when it says newborn babes, that's a figure of speech, an illustration, with an emphasis attached to it. So that's a figure of speech. Because definitely it doesn't mean, you know, for a child now you have a baby cry and all that. So, you know, I think they say cry baby. I think there are some babies that don't cry. I've not seen any baby that doesn't cry. But I think some actually cry more than the other. I was told I used to cry. I don't believe it. When I look at me now, I don't believe it. Praise God. It's just beautiful how the environment can change you. Hallelujah. So you are cry baby. And some people are cry adults. I know some people that any small thing, that's actually my mom. I hope she doesn't watch this later. And we will laugh it out when she sees this. Hallelujah. So look at that. It's a cry adult. But when it says as newborn babes, that was a figure of speech. Because it does not mean that, you know, so you're now born again. Say that I'm born again. Oh, Jesus, man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. No. So when he says, as newborn, it's funny, right? That's a figure of speech. Are we together? So, now, in this same way, you are going to see a lot of words used in New Testament books that are figures of speech. See, there are figures of speech in the Bible. Are we together? For example, we saw Ephesians 6, which we are going to go back to, that text. It says, be strong enough. It says, put on the whole armor of God. And then you are looking for a spiritual gun. If you are looking for a spiritual gun, then you must also go through training of how to shoot. Then say, okay, I'm a sniper spiritually. I'm a spiritual sniper. I don't shoot where everybody is shooting. That's why I don't do evangelism. I do warfare. I go to the secrets somewhere. You are just an idiot. A lazy one. Hallelujah. You know, those are the teachings that brought about the idea that angels. Some of us would still think that angels have sword. And in my mind, I'm wondering, what are they doing with this sword? There's even this, I don't know, there's this magazine like that used to be the armor of God. You see a Christian there, you know, hey, armor of God, helmet of salvation, everything. When he says helmet of salvation, that's figure of speech into your lung. Now, as simple as what I'm saying is, it looks very simple, but it has led a lot of people astray. That's why you hear teachings like, your garments are stained. Which garment? Who stole it? Who was the tailor? Or the Holy Ghost now has measuring tape. So they say, that guy is about to be saved. You know the machine. Is he about to be saved? Delay. Garment your thing. Because the moment he gets saved without the garment like this, the devil just cause the garment. Just drag him back to the kingdom of Satan. Kingdom Shele. So just the two angels carrying the stretcher. What happened? No garment. You don't know the sticker. You have not seen the sticker. What happened to him? There's no armor of the Lord. Are we together? That's funny, right? But you see how a flippant attention to scriptures, to a test, can lead you. Where it can lead you. Are we together? So when he says as newborn babes, because let me tell you, when someone is born again, he's not a baby. Are we together? He's not what? You are not born again a baby. Is that clear? If you didn't know that before, please know that now. So you now begin to give a baby breast milk. So you say, also let's be teaching him simple things. Simple things. The first class, Jesus is Lord. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Go home. The next class, he dwells in you. Do you understand? Say, he dwells in me. Let's lift up your hands and give God praise. Let's go. No. Go check the book of Acts. The moment people were saved, the next meeting, 12 hours teaching. If I come and walk toward me. The moment people were saved, the next in Christian meeting. Even when we have people here born again, you come to church, you are still going to be in the service. If we are spending 3 hours to teach that morning, we're going to be there. We will now have a different follow up. But nobody is born again, what? A baby. Are we together? Are we together? Have. So when he says, as newborn babes, hallelujah, that was what? An illustration, a figure of speech. A figure of speech to describe what? Look at this. As newborn babes, you know, you have comma there, right? Move that comma. It's not there in the originals. So he's talking about the cravings of the newborns. The cravings of a what? Of a newly born. The desires of what? A newborn what? Child. He says, you will also desire what? Now, again, when he says milk of the world, there's nothing like milk of the world. Say, emamomik. Efunimik. Fishugasi. Manje kukwaju. Come on, Funin Jenny. That's it. Are we together? That sounds funny, right? Amen. Look at Romans 8. Let me show you something there. We'll get back to what I was doing. Romans 8. In verse 14. Look at something there. He says, well, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Hallelujah. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? The sons of God. Look at verse 15.
For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. The spirit also beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. And if children, then what? Yes.
Have you heard someone say, when we are born again? I remember those were some teachings that gave me trouble in UI. He just sent us all of us packing. Hallelujah. He said, when you are born again, you are a child of God. You are not yet a son. Oh, you've not had it. If you have not had it, you have not been. Someone actually said, God does not need children, that he needs sons. So I'm now wondering, why did he not give us the children? Hallelujah. Why did he not give us the children? He says, someone actually said, very ridiculous. Someone actually said that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the same way. He said, children are born, sons are led. And when he heard that, a keyboard must be playing at the background, definitely. It will not sync if the keyboard is not playing. Someone like Rosanne must be doing wah, 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 wah. And then you now hear the congregation. You say, like God has plugged the electric chair. But how can you make such a ridiculous statement? You will make those statements when you don't put in view a proper study of words. And that's what we want to do. That's why I'm opening our attention to these things. Are we together? Because that's what we're going to be doing in the course of our study. Are we together? Another person said, you know, he says the spirit itself bears witness with that spirit. He says, children has inward witness, but sons has direct leading. Which one is direct leading? Are we together? You just see nonsense. Hallelujah. Look at this. The word children in verse 16. The word sons in verse 14, are we together? Is describing the same people. Only separate emphasis. Amen. I said amen. Separate what? Emphasis. The word son in verse 14 is the word uios. Uios, some word study. Uios is spelled U-I-H-O-S. Look at these words. Are we together? Look at these words. Then you have something like this. Mind those words. You have the word uihos, brephos, technos, pharma, nepios, paideon. I think there are actually one or two more in the Greeks. The word sons in verse 14, let me just take you through it, is the word uihos. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, uihos is used for, do we say an heir or a heir? English students. Heir. Will he carry an or a? An. Okay. So it's an heir. Are we together? Are we together? Uihos is used for somebody who is, how am I finding it? Are you sure you are not visiting the old church? The people of God. It's a linguist, that's why I asked him. And hey.
Eh?
Okay. Hallelujah. Somebody who is an hey. If I find that differently, you will repeat this session.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I said praise God. Now, but observe something in verse 15, everyone. He says, for you have not received the spirit of what? Bondage again to fear. Now, when you have bondage, it takes you to Exodus. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, you look at what Paul is doing. Paul is explaining spiritual realities, and he brings us to Exodus. He says, oh, even though in Exodus there is a bondage that people were in. But he says, look at this. The bondage of Exodus will typify a spiritual bondage. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, so that the freedom or the liberty of Exodus, hallelujah, will typify what? A spiritual what? Liberty. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry what? Abba Father. The spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Someone say children. Now when he says the children of God, again, hallelujah, that is descriptive. Are we together? Of who we are. Now you don't say I'm a children. Say I'm a child. Hallelujah. Say who are you? I'm a children of Mr. I'm a children of Mr. Isa. You won't be different from that one that says we are many. Hallelujah. You know, someone says something demons don't understand English. No, he actually knows. He says, who are you? What is your name? I am many. Something like that. And it was right. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at verse 16. The word children in verse 16, we're just looking at some words. Are we together? Uh-huh. The word children in verse 16 is the word technon. Someone say technon. I think you have that there. Yeah, technon. Can you explain that? Now the word sons in verse 14 is the word uios. Observe that the spirit, are we together? Are we together? That we have received, that made us sons. The spirit by which we are made sons in verse 14. Look at that believer's authority. The spirit by which we are made sons in verse 14 is the same spirit that bears witness with our spirit. Are we together? Are we together? That we are what? Children of God. Now, I've explained verse 16 to you over the years. Go over it again. That when it says the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So, let me ask you. When it says we, who does the we refer to? The spirit and our spirit. Well, that would be a silly way to read it. Alright? Right? Right? So, is the spirit and our spirit. We are joining hands together, jumping. We are children of God. Is that what it's happening? Yeah? We are children of the Father. There's one song like that. Children of the Father, we are. Something like that. Amen? So, the Holy Ghost is holding your hand. We are. He has busier matters than that. Are we together? The very first thing will be to observe the word witness, to bear witness. Are we together? Bears witness with our what? Spirit. To bear witness there refers to, I think it's from a word maturio. Maturio, which means to testify. Hallelujah. To testify. So this refers to the testimony of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now look at verse 9.
Hey, I'm just going far, far, far back. Don't worry.
Verse 9.
Let me
plan to explain all this. Verse 9. Can we read together? Want to go? You are not where, but in the spirit. Now another thing you look at is, look at verse 16. You observe that two the word spirit occurs twice, right? And one has capital letter, and the other one has what? Small letter. Now the two are the same. Is that okay? Don't say the capital letter is the Holy Ghost. So the small letter is your ghost. Are we together? The small letter is your ghost. Amen. Amen. Or methylated spirit. Hallelujah. The two are one and what? Two Ramirenda capital letter. That's just some transitors in Genity. Are we together? So look at verse 9 again. Everybody, let's do it together. Want to go? You are not in the flesh, but what? In the... If so be that the what? Now if any man have not what? He is what? None of his. So how many spirits should a man have? One.
You know you are not possessed. Hallelujah. Amen. You have the Spirit.
Are we together?
At salvation, God's life came to dwell in your spirit. So it becomes a spirit. Are we together? God's life comes to replace your life. So it becomes his life. His spirit. That's our vision. Ezekiel 36.
Are we together? Are we together?
There is nothing, nowhere in the Bible that implies that the believer has two spirits. Nowhere. Just one spirit, the Spirit of God.
So, it says that spirit bears witness. So, look at this. When it says the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. Are we together? That word, our spirit, is the word pneuma. Amen? And that word, the spirit, is also the word what? Pneuma. So what does it mean by the spirit bears witness? Look at it, we said the word beareth witness means what? To testify. So look at this. Paul is saying this is the testimony of the Spirit of God concerning the Spirit which indwells us. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God testifies that the Spirit in us is the Spirit of God. Is it clear? In other words, the Spirit of God testifies to the fact that He dwells where? Or is the one dwelling in us? Amen. Amen. So, the same Spirit by which we are called the sons of God in Romans 8:14 is the same Spirit that calls us what? Us children.
Are we together?
So there are no two spirits, the children.
There's no junior Holy Ghost. Says the junior Holy Ghost.
No. In verse 15, observe a word. It says, "For you have not received the spirit of born again to fear, but the spirit of what? Adoption." Now look at something. Verse 14 explains verse 15. Or it's repeated in verse 15. You have received the spirit of what? Adoption. So it's called the spirit of what? Adoption. Verse 14. As many as led, as are led by the what? Spirit of God. Which spirit is the spirit of God? Us. Is that a spirit of adoption? Is that a spirit of adoption? So can we say, hey, see how slow I am this morning? Can we say, as many as are led by the spirit of adoption, they are the sons of God? Oh, so we can say that, right? Right? I didn't say that to you. Anyone that said that to? Amen. So as many as are led by the spirit of adoption, they are what? The, look at this, adopted of God. Because that word sons is the word we use, and it means adopted.
Are we together?
Say that I've been adopted by God. Now, when we say adoption, this is Bible word, Bible language. You don't quickly read the audition and say, ah, shame you, Baba, me oni.
Hallelujah. In a Jewish custom, in the Old Testament, you don't adopt a child because the child doesn't have parents. No. Are we together? That's a Western mindset. But in the scriptures, it's not so. Amen.
The word adoption is the word euthesia. Euthesia. U-I-H-O-T-E-S-I-A. T-H-E-S-I-A rather. Euthesia. And euthesia means to place as sons. So you have three words there. You have the word euthesia. You have the word uios. Are we together? Uios or euthesia, something like that. Or euthesia. Are we together?
I think that spelling is wrong. Just look into now. I think you should have something like euthesia. Are we together? That's the spelling. Euthesia. Are we together?
Aha. So you have euthesia. Amen. And then you see the word uios there, which means son. Now, when you have a son, we're going to see. Look at what Paul said again in Galatians 4. My thoughts are fast expanding. So just follow me. Are we together? Galatians 4. In Galatians 4, verse 1, he says, "Now I say that the what? The head. As long as he is a what? Child. Differeth nothing from a what? Servant." Are we together? Now the word hair there is the word we use. So that's the meaning of sons.
Are we together?
So that, you know, we have looked at breakfast, right?
We're looking at we use.
So that's the word for sons that we read there. We use the word hair. Now, uios has to do with inheritance.
Are we together?
Adoption. So, adoption in the Old Testament or in the Bible has to do with what? Inheritance. Not fatherless, motherless.
Are we together?
Somebody else, look at me, brings you in to inherit what belongs to him. That's the meaning of adoption. Is that clear to you now? He brings you in as a child in order to what? In order to what? To inherit.
Not to inherit.
So it's an inheritance language. It's a Genesis word. A heir we use. And in Galatians 4 verse 1 to 3, Paul is using it to describe Israel under the law. In verse 4, look at something in verse 4. He says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his what? His son, made of a woman, made under what? The law. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of what? Of sons. Did you see that? Did you see that? Now, let me show you something there. The word we host, I said, it means what? Hair, right? Actually, it's from the word ben in the Old Testament. The word ben. The word ben. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The word adoption there, I said, is the word what? Oh? Euotesia, right now. Obviously, when you have euotesia, euotesia is two words. You have the word uios. Are we together? Uios. Are we together? And you have the word titemai. Titemi or titemai. And then when you have the word titemai, titemai means to position. Or to place us. Are we together? Many times it is used in burial. When you say somebody is put in a state of repose. Are we together? To place the body. When you place a body. Amen? It means to put something in a position. In position. So people come to see and all that. Are we together? So that's the word titemai. Titemai. And then you have the word uios. So, euotesia means what? To put in a position of what? Of a what? A hair. Does that make sense to you now? So, when he mentions adoption, look at this. When you see adoption explained in the New Testament books, especially by the apostles, I see euotesia. That is what it means. It means somebody who was not what? A heir. Is now put in a state of what? A heir. So, uios is a function. It's a functional word. Now, when you have heir, what comes to mind? Inheritance, right? Right? Now, quickly, before you start laughing, inheritance, because when we say, inheritance, you say, So if you say, inheritance, you must first of all ask the question, what am I what? Inheriting. Hallelujah. What am I inheriting? Because the child can inherit the father's debt. That's an inheritance. Are we together? Are we together? So when it says God placed us as sons and he uses the word we use, is an inheritance language. An inheritance, let me help you quickly, has to do with responsibility. Responsibility. Those are things we're going to study in coming weeks and months and years. Are we together? Euotesia, adoption, is an Exodus language. Not like your grammar. Which means to position as an heir. To put in the position of an heir. Are we together? Are we together? Euotesia means to place as a son. We're looking at believers' authority. To put in a position of a son, you would say, yeah. To occupy a son position. Mind those words. Look at Exodus 4 quickly. Exodus 4. Verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will have the desire that he shall not let the people go. Verse 22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is what? Israel is what? My son. Even my what? The word firstborn there is from the word reshit. Reshit.
Are we together?
And the word son there is from the word ben. Ben. B-E-N. Now observe in this text, he uses the word reshit to describe ben. In other words, as far as God is concerned, Israel will stand in the same office. Or, what God meant by Israel is my son, is actually that Israel is what? Is what? Firstborn. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. What he meant by Israel is my son. Now, that explains adoption. So he makes Israel his son. Hallelujah. Don't forget, the background of this is Exodus chapter 3. That's the background of this. In Exodus chapter 3, he says this quickly. In verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of what? Jacob. Now, the moment you hear, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where does that take you to? Genesis. So the writer does not expect you to read Exodus without having read what? Genesis gives you the background of what is happening in Exodus. Are we together? Are we together? Genesis will give you the background of what is happening in Exodus. So the moment you hear, I am the God of, that means God wants you to trace something to Abraham. Amen. One. Two. That means whatsoever God is doing here, are we together? Is a fulfillment or a continuation of what he is doing or he started doing with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Hallelujah. We're going to observe. I won't show you now because of time. If you go over Genesis, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You see God in talking to Isaac. God told Isaac, he says, I am the God of your father, what? Abraham. In God speaking with Jacob, he says, I am the God of thy fathers, Abraham and what? Isaac. You see that, I think, in Genesis 31. Hallelujah. I am the God of thy father, Isaac. You see that when God spoke to him from the ladder, the spiritual side at Bethel. Are we together? So by saying, I am the God of Abraham, he's putting his attention on the fact that, hey, whatever I am doing with you is a continuation from your father, what? Abraham. Are we together? By coming to Jacob and saying, I'm the God of thy father, Abraham, and Isaac. He's telling him, I'm coming to continue with you what I did with who? Those two guys. By coming to Moses and saying, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, again, he puts the three of them together. In other words, I'm here to continue or to fulfill what I started with who? With those three guys. In that single statement, Moses will have to again remember what God has said to, done with, or done through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What took us here? I don't know. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. But look at that. So when he says, in Exodus chapter 4, in verse 22, he says, let Israel, he says, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son.
Are we together?
Even my firstborn. So he explains the word son with the word firstborn.
It is Israel.
Then it says in verse 23, and I say unto thee, let my son. Now, I told you something in one of our studies recently, that when it says Israel is my son, observe that Israel was a nation of both men and women.
Are we together?
And then God says, Israel my son. He will call men and women is what? So the concept of a son of God. He said, hey, me, I'm not a son of God, I'm a daughter of God. No. The concept of being a son of God, are we together? Has to do with what? Inheritance. Adoption. It's a Bible language. Where, you know, it says, let us make man in our image. You need to say, and women in our imageness.
There's something like that. And after our, I don't know how that would sound.
I'm a daughter of Zion. I'm a daughter of Zion. I'm a daughter of Zion.
Are we together?
My Isaac is coming. My Isaac is coming. My Isaac is coming.
That's amazing. Better go and sit down and read your Bible. Praise God. I said, praise God.
It says, I am.
Let's leave all of those. I am. You don't know who the Lord is, only you are. How do you know yourself when you have fallen? You don't know who the Lord is. Hallelujah.
I said, hallelujah. So, when it says, son, look at verse 24. Verse 23, rather. He says, and if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy what? Even thy what? So, you can see son side by side with what? Firstborn. Because why did he say son, firstborn, son, firstborn, son, firstborn? Observe what God told Abraham too.
Are we together?
When the angel came to him to go sacrifice, he says, take thy what? Thy what? Thy only son. Now, Isaac was not what?
The only son. Did you observe that? That Isaac was not the only son.
Now, by saying take thy only son, another word for that is your first son, your only son. God is treating Isaac like the only son of Abraham. Because whatsoever God was talking about concerning Isaac is something that has to do with a responsibility. Reshit. Ben.
Are we together? Are we together? Are we together?
Thy son. My son. So, we see that word and Exodus language. So, by saying Israel is my son, that's an adoption. That's an adoption.
Are we together?
Are we together? Are we together? Let me look for a text. I'm looking for a text I want to show you. Yes, verse 23. He says, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that what? Oh. So the idea of sonship is to serve the father.
Wow.
In scripture.
Are we together? Are we together? The idea of sonship in the scriptures is what? Is what? Can you say that? Is what?
To serve the Father.
It will serve the Father. Now, when I say serve the Father, does that mean it will take my responsibilities? Does that mean it will be responsible for me? It will be responsible on my behalf? So, it will serve me means it will work, yes, for me. My responsibilities will be handed over to him. He will carry it out. He will serve me. Is another word for worship. Are we together? So when he says the entire nation of Israel will serve me, it means what? Israel will be a nation set apart for God's what? Work on the earth. We're going to trace that same thing to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He will serve. So note that word, he will serve me. So, let me ask you a question. Today, when you say, this guy is the governor's son, what comes to your head? Enjoyment. Isn't it? But in the Bible, when we say, this is the king's son, what comes to mind? Responsibility. Actually, let me tell you, in the Bible, the sons of great men and kings are made to suffer. They don't see it as enjoyment. Because the entire responsibilities and the estate of the father is going to be handed over to them. That's why when you see a child or a son that is, you know, all about funfair and that, it's usually painful to the father. So in Bible, when you say son, hey, are we together? So why will we have adoption? Abraham did not have to adopt Isaac. Are we together? But God had to adopt who? Israel. Are we together? Abraham did not have to adopt Isaac because Isaac by birth automatically is a what? A son. But look at this. God had to adopt what? Israel. Because Israel was not what? A son before. But the idea behind the adoption is to become what? A son. To put in the position of a son. The New Testament word for that in the Greeks is the word what? Euthesia, adoption. It's also used for sonship. Are we together? To place in a position of a son. So placing in a position of a son means it will carry out the father's responsibility. So let me ask you a question quickly now. When I say I am a son of God, is that an enjoyment term or a responsibility term? Thank you. Where God's responsibilities are now where? With me to carry out. Are we together? God's responsibility, we're looking at believers' authority, are now with me to what? To carry out. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. To carry out. God's responsibilities are now, look at this, my assignments. The Father's now, look at it. We said the Father's estate, right? It will also include duties. It will also include possessions. The possession of the Father becomes my inheritance. Why? So that I can enjoy life. No. So that I can carry out his responsibilities effectively. Now, what is that resource of God? The Spirit. We're going there. So he says the Spirit of what? Adoption. In other words, what is received? Look at it. The Spirit of adoption. Amen. The Spirit of adoption means that by the Spirit is how the adoption took place. Are we together? Are we together? And then what is received in that adoption is what? By the Spirit. That adoption took place by the Spirit. The inheritance of that adoption is in the Spirit and by the Spirit. The responsibilities are where? In the Spirit. The adoption is what? By the Spirit. Are we together? Are we together? So, that is where you have the word oikos. Adoption. Look at Romans chapter 8 again. We see Romans 8:15. It says, we have received the Spirit of what? Adoption. Now, quickly, before we do that, let me ask a question. Can we also say that sonship means to reflect the Father? Wait. Can we say that? Can we say that? Look at, hold your hands to that text. Look at Matthew 5. Quickly. I'm stuck in this explanation, but I can't live in time soon. So let's just flow. Matthew 5, right? Read verse 45. Quickly, want to go? Before then, read, would that be 43? Matthew 5. What's in 43? Verse 44, want to go? Verse 45. I checked that word children in verse 45. It is the word we use. It wasn't Teklon. It wasn't Bephos. It was we use. Reflection. That you may be the reflections. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So now wait. When you have wheels as reflection, you know, another beauty of Bible study. Are we together? Are we together? The writers of the New Testament were teaching their world in a different language, right? 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 Now, obviously, so that word, have I explained codified language to us? I think I just mentioned it, right? Codified language. Okay, we're looking at that in my LTP sessions. We have that there, codified language. And all that. Now, that word, uihus, is a codified language. Are we together? A word that has a whole lot of history and shades behind it. The writers employed the use of it. They must study the context. Say, well, you must study the context. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So he says that you may be reflections. So the word Ben, which so many times Rashid is used to explain that same thing, are we together? Is the word the New Testament writers use, says huios. And then it can be used to explain somebody who is his son because, are we together? He has inherited the father's responsibilities. And in that same word huios, it also means he will reflect. Are we together? Now that reflection is similar to the word bemuth. Are we together? The word demuth and the word telem. Let us make man in our image. Reflection. Are we together? Are we together? So pay attention to this. Israel is my son. We said that's adoption, right? Right? That adoption is to fulfill that Exodus. Huh? So the adoption in Exodus is to fulfill the Genesis mandate. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? What is the Genesis mandate? Man will reflect God. Observe, I explain, tell them to you. One who has my character, isn't it? Right? My possessions, isn't it? Isn't it? And functions in my what? In my capacity and stead. That is the meaning of son. So, look at this. Can we say the son is in the image of the father? Can we say that? If you say no, that means you have not been in this church this year. Are we together? Can we say that? That the son will be the image of the father. A reflection of the father. So that word image, telem, I told you, is a functional word. A function is a position, an office, a responsibility. So man created in the image of God is a responsibility. Are we together? The same thing saying I'm a son of God is a responsibility. So for example, you see someone claiming that the Bible says when I'm born again, I'm a son of God. And you don't have a local church. You are a shame. A big one. Let me say it differently. Rather than say you are a shame, let me say you are not serious. Are we together? Let me say it that way. You're not serious. Local assembly. You're not serious. Because the very idea of sons. Are we together? Another word we might explore, sometime later, I don't know, is the word church. Again, that's a function. The body of Christ. The body of Christ again. So look at this. Anytime there is an exodus, the one who is called out is a responsibility. Israel was called out, a church of Moses in the wilderness is a responsibility. There is a nation with an assignment. Are we together? So anybody that identifies with the body of Christ, they say the church is not a place. The church is a people. That's why I don't have any place I go. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Anyone who identifies as a church, do you know what you are saying? You are saying that I am responsible for God's work on the earth. That's the meaning of church. That's the meaning of the Son of God. Are we together? Does that make sense to you? So, look at this. Look at this. If I go to the other side of the explanation and I explain how that the angels supernatural have been the sons of God, does that make same sense to you? Responsibility. So what makes us different? We are sons of God in the image of Christ, in the order rather of Christ. We are sons in the order of Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So the background of Exodus 4 is the fulfillment of the Abraham mandate or the Genesis mandate. God by salvation, he says, let Israel what? Go. That he may what? Serve me. Hallelujah. Then we see it. He says, Israel is my son. Why is Israel my son? Israel is my son because Israel will what? Will serve me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Israel is my son. So let me ask you a question. When God said, Israel is my son, is that similar to when Jesus says, God is your father? I've explained that to you over the years, that when Jesus said, God is your father in the four gospels, I call that an hourly statement, isn't it? Isn't it? A statement that is going to be true based on what? A shorty of a future event taking place. Christ knew he was going to die, he was going to rise from the dead, and by his death and resurrection, you will be God's son, because they had already believed. So the same thing, God called Israel his what? His son, primarily because they are offerings of Abraham, but look at this, he called them his sons because he is going to redeem them from Egypt, and by redeeming them and carrying out the Exodus, they were going to what? They were going to serve him. So he says, my son. And our restatement. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So look at this. God by salvation and redemption, God by an Exodus will have sons. That is the Genesis mandate. That is the Genesis mandate. So we are sons of God by redemption. Angels, supernatural beings, are not sons of God by redemption. Are we together? Are we together? We are sons of God by redemption to carry out, are we together? The redemption mandate. The redemption mandate. So, the son or firstborn will be an inheritance. So when he's a son or he's a firstborn, an inheritance is in mind. Are we together? And let me tell you quickly, when we say an inheritance is in mind, the very first thing that must come to your mind that will be inherited is responsibility. So because of that responsibility, certain resources are also what? Inherited. Does that make sense to you now? That's what it means to be a son of God. He will inherit what the Father has to do. And he will inherit what the Father has. By inheriting what the Father has and has to do, he will reflect the Father. So sonship is a responsibility language. It has to do with responsibility, has to do with duty, has to do with inheritance, it has to do with reflection. It has to do with image and likeness. Man will be God's son means man will reflect God. If he will reflect God, he must have God's character. Are we together? He must have God's supply, God's nature. He must know God's will. Glory to God forevermore. So when we say, let's get back to New Testament books. When we say son and a child, it's not referring to stages. It's the same. In Romans 8:16, he says, children. The word technon. And technon means offspring. It simply describes your source.
Hallelujah. Source. Romans 8:16. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He's not referring to a stage. Rather, it's simply an emphasis that describes you as God's offspring. Someone say, I'm God's offspring. The word technon is from the word tikto in the Greek. Tikto is spelled T-I-K-T-O. Tikto. T-I-K-T-O. And tikto is a verb. Technon is a noun, or, depending on context, can act as an adjective. But tikto is the verb of technon. Are we together? It means to bring something forth. To bring forth. You will see that in Matthew 1. Matthew chapter 1. This is Genesis. Matthew 1 in verse 21. I'll read you those texts because we'll pick up our explanations from there next week. Are we together? I want to stop now. Are we together? Are we together? So Matthew 1, go by those texts, verse 21. Verse 23, verse 25. Matthew 2, verse 2. Luke 1, verse 31 and verse 57. Luke 2, verse 6, 7, and 11. I skipped several other texts. John 16, 21. Galatians chapter 4, verse 27. To bear, that bearest. Hebrews 6, verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 11. To bring forth. Was delivered of a child. James 1, 15. Sin bringeth forth death when it has conceived. So by using that word conceive, conception, it means what you bring forth. To bring forth a child. That's what actually you say in Matthew 1. It says, before she brought forth her first child. It's used for a child in the womb that was now brought forth. But unlike breath force, technos is simply used to trace the source. Our source is. Are we together? When you have POs, it means who we reflect, because we have inherited responsibility. Are we together? When you have breath force, it's used for what? A stage. As someone's child. Revelations 12 verse 2, to be delivered. Revelations 12 verse 4, it was born. That was born. Revelations 12 verse 5, she brought forth. Revelations 12 verse 6. Verse 13 rather. Verse 13 is not verse 6. Bring forth. The word tikto. Again, it is not referring to stage of development. It's rather to show birth. Hallelujah. So Matthew 5 is simply saying that you will love that you may be the children of your father. In other words, now when he says that you may be the children, does that mean that by my loving people I qualify to be a child of God? No. Because salvation is not by works. Are we together? So what does it mean that you love that you may be the children? Love that you may be seen as a reflection of God. So my love walk, are we together, is a reflection of the Father. Of the Father. Are we together? So by using the word technon, hallelujah, it simply means your birth or your source. By using the word we host, heir or sons, it simply implies what? A position and responsibility. When you say the word sperma, sperma, like you see in 1 Peter and in 1 John, you have the word sperma. We're going to explore that word as we go on. It is to explore your character. It's the word for seed. We are his seeds. We are his offsprings. Character and nature. Are we together? Are we together? So there are adjectives to describe the same person. So when someone says, I'm a son and not a child, you've not done your homework well. They are not stages. Hallelujah. They are not stages. They are simply expressions of what God has done.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Another word we see nepios, rather. Nepios. We see paideon, like I put there. Are we together? Are we together? So look at something. Let me close there. 2 Timothy 3 again. We're coming back to this text in our next meeting, because I have a target of time. Just want to stick to time this morning. Are we together? 2 Timothy 3, quickly. It says, from a child thou hast known the word, the Holy Scriptures. From a child. Now, by saying from a child, it says brephos. Brephos. We read in Acts 16 how Paul met Timothy, right? And one of the things we read, if you remember, he says he had a good report. Acts 16. I'll show you again. In Acts 16. And then in verse 1. Acts 16. Verse 1. He says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was what? Well reported. Now, by saying well reported, it means two things. Number one, he had a good report. Are we together? And secondly, there was an exhaustive detail about him. Did you see that? It was not enough that he had a good report. He has also been around for long. They had his history. They had his history. So two things. We have your history, and your history has good reports. Full of good reports. So when he says he was well reported, it means there was details about him. And it also means there were good details. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So you can observe that Paul, upon meeting Timothy, obviously, you know, Paul didn't meet him at salvation, right? And Paul didn't get him saved. No. Hallelujah. Paul met him already in the church. That was what he just read. He said he was already in the church, growing. He was already amongst the saints. He did well. Hallelujah. So, he had a good report. And part of that good report is that he was in a constant spiritual development in the Word of God. Let me mention this as we go on. It means Timothy matured into ministry. Look at me, church. That is God's plan. Maturity into ministry. What does it mean? Someone is saved. Are we together? And through teaching and training, he comes to an awareness of ministry and continues serving. Not, I slept yesterday and I woke up cold. Maturity into ministry. In the local assembly. But that's not my focus, just a mention. It is from a child. Observe something there. It says, from a child, thou hast known the scriptures. So, look at it. Can we say, from the womb? But does breakfast means a child in the womb? Now, a child in the womb, is that what breakfast means? Or breakfast is only also used for? Thank you. So, context is what explains what breakfast means. But whichever way, it is used for somebody in the stage of what? Infancy. But look at this. Paul was not there definitely when Timothy was born. Well, he also wasn't there when Timothy was born again. But he had a report that Timothy, hallelujah, had grown up in the scriptures. So when he says from a child, that will refer to Timothy's what? Spiritual heritage. Knowledge. Amen. I said amen. Because look at me, church. There is no child believer. That's what I'm making you to see. There's nothing like baby Christian. It's a baby Christian. Pastor, are you now saying all of us are matured? Well, what I'm saying is this. What we call baby Christian, it's not that he's a Christian and a baby. Or the spirit is a baby. Baby Christian Are we together? Has to do with knowledge and experience of the faith. The right knowledge and experience of what? Of the faith. Let me close here. So when he says, thou hast known, the Holy Scripture says, from a child. Hallelujah. It is from a child. So, can we say from a point of knowing nothing? Is that what it means? Is that what it means? From the point of knowing nothing about the faith. Is that what it means? Is that what it means? Simple. You have what? Known the Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah. Which are able to make the what? The word wise there, interestingly, is the opposite of brephos in this context. Wise means matured, knowledgeable, experienced. So look at me, church. In your Christian walk, there is that gap. From a point where little or nothing is known or understood about the work with God, the things of God, the ministry, the call of God, the will of God for your life, the knowledge of God, nothing is known, not much is known. To a point where you are now what? Fully aware. Skillful. Another word used for a professional. Look at the gap. What fills the gap? What fills the gap? Verse 16. A thorough explanation of what? Of the Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah. Play for miracles. It means spiritual development. Hallelujah. Which will be an awareness of the things you have in Christ. Philemon 6. Will be by a precise understanding of the Holy Scriptures. I close to say this. That a proper handling of the Scriptures is what produces what? Spiritual development. Are we together? Are we together? We'll go reconcile those words and text with this. Our next thing. The opposite of handling scriptures properly. Hallelujah. Streblo is a word used by Peter in 2 Peter 3. Hallelujah. In verse 16, when he spoke about those who are of unstable rest, unlearned and unstable, opposite of that, we told Timothy, the things that thou hast what? Learned and has been assured of. The opposite of that, unlearned, unstable. See, the way you see a believer jumping up and down, jumping up and down, jumping up and down, he's not growing. A growing believer is calm. He's calm. He's calm. One of the signs of maturity is that you are calm. Are we together? Are we together? That aside. But look at this. He uses streblo to rest the scriptures. It means to twist the scriptures. That means when the Old Testament, because when he says, that has known the Holy Scriptures, which has made you a professional. Is it part of the New Testament books? Huh? Old Testament, right? Old Testament, right? So we're going to be studying the Old Testament. So the Old Testament are for salvation and spiritual development. So when they are not properly studied, when they are not properly explained, you cannot have spiritual growth. Note that. You can't have growth. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Don't write, just look at me.
I'm telling you this morning to grow. I'm telling you to what? See, I will grow.
Look at this.
Activity is not necessarily growth. But growth will produce activities.
Are we together?
If you have activity, and you are not growing, you are in trouble. See, circumstances and situations and all of that are waiting. Don't I just say, what happened to that brother? What happened? But he was praying. But he was this. But he was that. But he was that.
All we had was what?
See, someone who is growing, there is substance. Substance. What do I mean by substance? You are heavy.
Are we together? You are what?
Weak, heavy.
Substance.
This one is what? Growing. Can be activities. Are we together? Because look at this. I say that to say that when the scriptures are not properly explained, they are twisted or not paid attention to, you might have activities, but there is no growth. But God wants growth.
Are we together?
You can have activities, but you cannot have. A twisted scripture cannot bring spiritual growth. A scripture that is not paid attention to cannot bring spiritual growth. Are we together? One of the things that proper handling of scripture does is the word epanotosis. We see that in 2 Corinthians 3:16. We're going to explore that text also. I want to close now. Epanotosis. Epanotosis is what epianotosis or epiotosis. It's two words together. Epanotosis is spelled E-P-A-N-O-R-T-H-O-S-I-S. Epanotosis. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Past graphistios nostos. It says, profitable, ophelimos. It says, didaskalia, hallelujah, and reproof, elekos, hallelujah. It says, and correction. So that word correction there is what epanotosis towards, the word epi means upon, and then you have the word autosis, hallelujah, autosis. And anotu. That's what you have. Epi and anotu. Epi and then anotu is spelled A-N-O-R-T-H-O-O. Anotu. Hallelujah. So that word anotu is from the word ana and the word otos. Hallelujah. Epanotosis. You have epi, which upon, and anotu. Anotu is used in Luke 13:13. Look at this. For when Jesus healed that woman that was bent. Are you with me? What happened? The Bible says after the devil has left her, what happened? She was straightened. Look at this. Paul uses that same word for a bent woman that was straightened. For what happens to you when you pay attention to the scriptures? That's what happens. Are we together? When I pay attention, the same thing. In Hebrews 12, verse 12, it's the same thing. It says to strengthen the feeble knees. It's used for somebody who is lame and is crippled and his joints or limbs are bent. Are we together? And then suddenly, you know, by God's miraculous power, and then you straighten out. He says that is what happens to you when the scriptures. So look at it. If you are the type that you don't pay attention to Bible teaching, Bible explanation, you can never do well.
in the things of God. You cannot. You can never, ever, 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 ever do well. I'm not cursing. That's just it. He says the only way your life is going to be straightened in the will of God. Straightened. It looks bent. The only way it's going to be straightened in the will of God is through what? A patient, precise, and diligent attention to Bible teaching. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So when it comes to walking in what we have in Christ, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. It will be a training in the scriptures. A training in the scriptures. It will be a revelation of the scriptures. It will be a training in the scriptures. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So it's used for restoration, epanotosis, a correction that comes from accurately, observe, he says persuasion, elenchos, right? He says that persuasion is what will lead towards, is what will lead towards that correction. Are we together? So God's training is in and by the scriptures. He says, be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Look at this. God's supply for supernatural living, God's supply for supernatural strength, God's supply for a life of dominion and authority, hallelujah, will come to you by training in the scriptures. He says, be strong in the grace which is in the Lord. Amen. You see, in verse 16 there, let me just close on this. It says, for instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. Instruction in righteousness. The word instruction, the word paideia. Right? Right? Now when you have paideia, it means nurture. Nurture. That means God's training, God's nurture is in and through the scriptures. God's training will set in order my life in the will of God. God's training, hallelujah, will bring about correction. That training is by a persuasion that comes via proper explanation. So it means the high point of Bible teaching is to mentor the believer into adulthood. Glory to God forevermore. I say glory to God forevermore. That's the high point. The high point is to mentor the believer to adulthood, to walking in what belongs to you in Christ. Are we together? End point of the knowledge of my knowledge of the scriptures will be towards to grow just like Timothy, to become a professional, to become skillful in the things of God. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. And how do I go by that? Attention to the scriptures. I share with you on Thursday that as the word of God is being taught to you, you're having a supernatural word. Experience. It's a supernatural experience. Revelation. That supernatural experience is bringing about a lot of straightness. That's what happens. Things are being straightened out. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So that's God's will for you and I. The scriptures will bring persuasion to you and I. And the end point of that persuasion is what? Is growth in the will, the provision, the supply, and the grace of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we'll continue from there in our next meeting. Just bow your heads and pray.
Spirit. When it says be strong in the Lord, when it says be thou strong and very courageous, they will all be in the things that he has told you to do. Believer's authority will be around the confines of God's will, God's plan, God's plan. Spiritual development, which is the salvation and spiritual development of others.